Anthony and Dan, why don't you talk to us about how Pacific got its start?
Yeah, sure. So yeah, we've been around in some form or other for about 5 years now, and like, yeah, we're still quite young band, I guess. I mean, I'm the oldest, and I've just turned 22. Dan here is still 20, and he's the youngest. But yeah, it all started back in high school. Like me and Dan, obviously brothers, so we sort of formed the group, and we've been through like various drummers and various guitarists, and like yeah, the lineup that we have now is obviously the complete and you know solid lineup moving forward. But
has it been the case the last 2 years?
Yeah, this current lineup that we've had is over 2 years now. Yeah. But yeah, started off in school, just started writing, jamming and writing some songs, and doing like under 18 band night sort of thing to create the initial fan base. And yeah, just like the more gigs we did, the more we sort of found our sound and stuff. And it moved along. Some months, some years where it obviously went up a notch, and then other times, you know, it's a bit up and down. But very much sort of on the up again now, and here we are today.
Now, you guys are based in Cheshire, right, over in the UK?
That's right, yeah.
And,
yeah.
The reason I ask is, you know, music scenes are quite diverse, but I was in a band when I was 18. And yeah. It was hard to get gigs. I got to ask, I mean, did you guys have that problem? I mean, like in my case, let's just say I was 21 for 3 years.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. Yeah, I mean, obviously it really helps to get like a, you know, like a booking agent, which is really sort of like what we're trying to vie for now. But yeah, I think around that time, yeah, sure, that there was a lot of, I mean, there was a lot of gigs in the area where, you know, it was sort of like, you know, for unsigned bands and stuff, and we really sort of like reap the benefits from those kind of gigs. But in terms of like especially getting gigs out of town, you know what I mean, like out of town is always tough because a lot of the time you're promoted to want a certain amount of tickets sold, and if it's your first time in that sort of city or town, it's very hard to bring your crowd of 30 down. So I mean, we were quite fortunate in our area that there was a lot of gigs on that didn't require ticket sales, that had sort of the actual event had a bit of a following, so that really gave us our sort of first few shows to sort of get our, you know, and we started off, I guess, our live performance kind of, you know, there, I guess. And then we sort of, the more we gigged, the more contacts we made, I guess, and it kind of spiraled on like that.
Now, did you have any issues? Because you know, one of the issues I had when I was your age was most of the places that would take indie bands had liquor licenses.
Yeah.
You know, and so they were real hesitant when they found out we were 18.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess like, you know, you can play those venues, but obviously you won't get paid in beers.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And they tell all the girls you're 18 too.
So,
which really sucks. How did you guys hone your sound? Because you've got a really, you know, like I said earlier, you have a really tight poppy sound. You guys sound a lot more seasoned than you actually, you know, I guess, you know, you could say should be at your age.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we used to sound like a lot trashier and stuff, you know, in terms of like, you know, like, I guess like the structure of songs and whatever. But like, yeah, I think like, obviously, the more we play, I mean, we've always been really sort of like serious, you know, from not obviously having a lot of fun still, but obviously wanting to be as much a live band as a studio band. And yeah, you know, we've obviously working with producers as well, that really helps to sort of hone your sound as well. Realizing what should be in a song, what shouldn't be, you know, what's sort of like, you know, like ad-libbing, it's just sort of like that's not needed for the song. You know, we've realized over time, like, you know, what's right and the production side of songs. So I'm guessing that's where we get our tightness from, and sort of like we don't really go off tangent. You know, every single song is quite succinct and sort of I guess it's they produce produce well. But yeah, I think we've over the years, yeah, I'm still in that learning phase in terms of like, is this the final form of our sound, but yeah, I think this EP shows the four songs really show like our entirety of like the spectrum of where we come from. And then I think when you see us live, there's more of a rockier edge as well, more energy and stuff. And moving forward, that's what we're going to try and sort of incorporate in the next few records, that more sort of like edgier live bike to the sound. But yeah, we're really happy with this EP. But yeah, that's sort of speaking in the future.
Well, and the songs do sound like they have an edge to them. I mean, and that was going to be my next question, actually. Like, kind of answered it, is how do the songs go over live? But so let me rephrase it. do you change the songs in any way live, or do you stick to the rules of the EP?
Yeah, I guess we change. Everything we play is what's on the record, yeah. But maybe we play the songs with more of a bite and an edge, and like I'd say, like maybe on the record it's obviously tamed maybe slightly to what we do live. But in terms of like what we play, there's no like prog rock 2 minute sort of guitar solos in between, nothing like that at all. But no, it's very much the same. But yeah, obviously it just sounds a little bit different. It sounds like more energy on stage than on the record. But yeah, that's the next step in our minds. Obviously, like because we're still abandoned, trying to still find our not we found our sound, but just sort of still thinking about how we can improve and stuff. And that's sort of the next sort of. The dream is to like go into like an analog studio and sort of record as a full band, live, and sort of get that imperfection into sort of a more perfect record of what the industry requires these days. But like, yeah, that's our next sort of, if we can do that, go a bit retro next time and record in an analog studio, that'd be amazing. But yeah,
Now was that kind of the recording process this time around? Did you record as live as you could, or did you do track by track? Because everything I've ever done, we've always done track by track just to get it perfected. But I always felt that sometimes that takes some of the life out of it.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think there's obviously there's a line, isn't there? But yeah, this EP, and everything we've recorded really has always been like, yeah, track by track, in a digital studio, and just sort of every single, like, obviously how it is, drums first, and then guitar, piano, bass, and then the vocals at the end. But it's always been track by track. But yeah, in the future, we want to sort of maybe sort of bring it back to like bands like we've grown up with, like Nirvana and Muse and stuff like that, and sort of try to reclaim that sort of that live sort of feel. And yeah, like you say, it would sound better. Not necessarily sound better. That's like everyone has their sort of preferences, but like it definitely have a different sort of quality to it for sure. We only talk about it because it literally is like our next sort of plan on our agenda.
Well, it gives a different feel to it in a way.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
totally. Because I think as musicians, I've always had what you call happy accidents, like things that didn't mean to come onto the recording but did, and they sound great.
Yeah.
I mean, do you guys know what I'm talking? I mean, you guys have that too, I'm sure.
Yeah, totally. That sort of like, yeah, things that sort of, yeah, happy acts. Yeah, like you mean, there's certain. I think that's what makes a track. Like sort of the flair of the moment, I guess, just sort of certain things that you sort of come up in the studio as well, and you're like, oh, that sounds really good, that sounds a lot better, and sort of adds character to the song. Yeah, for sure. I think that's why it's so important to, I mean, whoever you do record with as producer, just to have a good rapport with them, so it kind of is like a two-way kind of, you don't feel restricted to sort of experiment. I think that's always very important in the studio as well.
Yes. Now, I'd like to ask each of you this question separately, so have you answer it separately if I could. If you could pick one song off of What Are You Waiting For, and the rest you got to throw away into the fire and just forget about, which would it be and why?
Okay, so yeah, because we sound the same as the brothers. This is Anthony talking. We're probably the same answer as well because we think alike as well.
I'll try to go for something else.
For me, it's Time to Forget, which is the first song on the EP. I think it's because it sort of that song encapsulates like our entire sound, sort of like the piano driven with a bit of a rockier edge to it, and I think that song is the one I'm most happy with on the record, whereas the other ones have like certain other sort of qualities to them, but like that one is like in my opinion that is like the Pacific sound encapsulated in one track, that's the reason for me. But
yeah, I mean, I probably would have some Time to Forget as well, but for diversity reasons, I'll go for somewhere else. I mean, for me, potentially, the third track, Runaway Boy, I think it's a very, I mean, if you're thinking about first-time listeners, I think that's a very instant track in terms of one listen in, you know, it'll stay in your head. I mean, maybe obviously some tracks grow in you, sometimes become your favourites after, you know, a few listens, but if you're thinking about for a first-time listener, I think Runaway Boy is very instant, very sort of catchy, very punchy, and I think that sort of, in today's world, definitely, you know, you want a track to grab you straight away, so I think that's definitely achieved that.
Exactly. I think you guys have some good reasons too for picking that, for picking what you picked as well. I gotta ask though, because you guys do sound identical. did you ever talk to each other's girlfriends on the phone without the other one knowing about it? because me and my brother sound alike, and I used to do that to him all the time, and it used to tick him off. I'd call, you know, like his girlfriend would call and be like, "Yeah, I got herpes, bye."
I mean, you're giving me a lot of ideas now. Yeah. I mean, we haven't really done that many pranks, really. Like, I'm not, there are a lot of friends. Yeah, because obviously we go to the same university as well. I've graduated, but Dan's in his final year now. We've got a lot of friends who say, you know, we can't even tell the difference. And the more like Dan grows up as well, the more like my friends are saying that. Because obviously some of my friends still haven't graduated yet, and they see Daniel on the street and they think it's me, because he's starting to look more and more like me as well. The more years.
If you say so. I'm not sure about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, serious. I mean, that just totally brought me back when, I mean, like, I was like, wow, they do sound alike. I mean, because, like, serious, up until I asked that last question, I was like, oh, okay, why doesn't the other one talk?
Oh, wow. I have been chipping in now and then, but you probably haven't noticed.
Why don't you tell us what you were waiting? So now I'm like still laughing on the inside, but okay. Why don't you tell us what are you waiting for comes out, and how are you going to promote it?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, well, it comes out on the 13th of November, and the pre-order is 16th of October. So like, yeah, 2 days time. I think obviously there's like a, you know, PR campaign and all that kind of stuff that's going on at the moment, I think that's how maybe you heard of us through that. It was like Blue Soap, I think it's called, that's currently in the works, that's all going on,
two singles,
yeah, Time to Forget and Those Nights, both of like music videos and stuff, they're already out, they are sort of like the EP bookenders as well, like the first and the last song, and they're the two lead singles from the EP, so that's all out for people to listen to and sort of grab people's attentions, I guess. We've been really happy with those two songs. Like Time to Forget got over here in the UK, like BBC Radio 1 play. It's like it was our first Radio 1 ever play, and obviously like that's like the best thing we've got for like
yeah, and that was on the Hugh Stevens show, wasn't it?
Hugh Stevens, yeah. It was really cool. Obviously it was through like Beauty introducing I'm not sure if the US have anything similar to that. I think like obviously like, a lot of the unsigned bands on this sort of obviously there are other ways of there's ways of not, you know, getting to where you want to get to you know, but obviously Boom's Introducing is a great platform, you know, to sort of rise up the ranks and gain publicity and attention and stuff like that. But yeah, that Time to Forget, that was the one that got that play, and yeah, it's been a really good year, good year, and honestly, this is like the icing on the cake, you know, at the end of the year, we've sort of, these songs have been recorded for ages, and it's really good finally to have them out, you know, for everybody to listen to. But yeah, I think up to the 30th of November, we'll release another song, like, online, you know, maybe Catch If You Can, or Runaway Boy, which two of them haven't been released yet, before the 13th, just as another bit of promotion. But yeah, full steam ahead.
Nice. And the new video, I saw the video for Those Nights. It's got a nice, classy look to it, man. Well, what's the story behind that with the single shots in the car?
Yeah. So yeah, it's just me singing, and then like all our friends coming in and out. But yeah, I think it was quite spontaneous.
Yeah, it was a very spontaneous sort of idea. We're just sort of like, how do we make this one different out of the other ones? So the ones have had sort of like
more scope to it, I'd say.
I guess, yeah, this one's a lot more simple, you know, like straight cam, you know, in the back of a black cab taxi around Manchester. But yeah, it was very much sort of like, I guess the video is sort of like me sort of pretending that I had a girlfriend once upon a time. and I forgot, you know, and trying to sort of like, yeah, I guess get over it or whatever, and yeah, people sort of like going on with their lives whilst I'm sort of in despair singing by myself, you know, like pretending I don't exist,
kind of alone, kind of like being alone even when you're with other people.
Yeah, that was the whole sort of vibe, sort of like I'm a piece of luggage, I guess, you know, in that taxi, and you know, people are like going on with their lives, you know, parties, whatever, and sort of, yeah, I'm just basically a an inanimate object.
Well, that actually makes me wonder. Do you are you guys a pair, like one of the, or I would say a pair of those songwriters that go out and about in town or just to random places and just observe people for ideas?
Yeah, for video ideas, yeah, for sure, but. Yeah, I guess we get like inspiration for songs as well. You know, like Manchester's a really vibrant place. A lot of things are happening here. So like, yeah, especially like once we're back in Manchester and then we come back home for like Christmas, for instance, we find like we have a lot of ideas for like inspiration for songs and stuff. And like, you know, over the summer when we're just back at home,
I think it's subconsciously like, whatever you sort of experience and you know, your recent days or life. I mean, I think when you go to write a song, it kind of comes out without you realizing it, I think, or you know, especially lyrically, perhaps more than the music, maybe sort of, you know, your ideas sort of stem from what you've sort of experienced recently. I would say that. But I was going to go on. I mean, in terms of like actual songwriting, we sort of usually write in the same sort of place, I'd say. I mean, we've got obviously we both do play piano as well, so we've got at home, we've got a sort of 16 track piano you can sort of record on. We very much sort of, you know, layer, record ideas and go through them and sort of, if you know, a week later see what we like, and then, you know, maybe put stuff together, and it's very sort of collaborative between two of us. So I guess our experience also sort of get, you know, merged together, and that's what sort of makes the Pacific songs, I guess.
Nice. Now, with your music, because like I said, you guys sound a lot more seasoned. I mean, it sounds like you guys are much older and you've been in a business much longer by listening to this EP. Because I've heard it front to back and back to front. And I got to tell you, here's the funny thing. I mean, it's one of those EPs that I've listened to more than once. And I listen to music all the time, and I'm reviewing music every day. And, you know, this has become like, you know, listening material for me, like where I've heard it a few times. My favorites are actually Time to Forget and Those Nights, for different reasons. But with you guys being, it's such an advanced level of songwriting considering your age and everything. Which do you find harder to write? Do you find the lyrics or the music harder to write? And what's your logic in piecing the two together?
Yeah.
I think it's probably lyrics, I'd say, maybe.
I think it very much depends on the song, I'd say. I mean, for us, usually it's always the music comes first, and then maybe, you know, we'll have ideas of lyrics whilst we're, you know, writing the music, you know, maybe just the chorus, and we'll write the verse later. But I mean, there's certain songs where you can sit down and lyrics will just come to you, I'd say, and other songs where you're there sort of really mulling it over, kind of trying to find the right sort of, you know, thoughts behind the song, etc. So for me, I'm not sure about, well, obviously we write together, but for me it's sort of, it does depend on the song.
It's weird, like for me and Daniel, like sometimes we sort of finish off each of his lyrics, you know, it's always a collaborative effort, each song. Yeah, I don't know what it is, but like, usually you should be writing a song and like lyrics should be kind of like personal or whatever, but like for some reason, whether it's like a hive mind we both have or something like that, along with the same voice, you know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
you know, yeah, the lyrics, it's very much like also a collaborative effort, like we sort of finish off each other's lyrics and finish off each other's, you know, hooks and melodies as well. So yeah, I'd say for me, lyrics, obviously, because it's always like after the music, you know, it's always lyrics comes after. But yeah, that's in answer to your question, it's probably the lyrics, but it does depend on the song.
Now, what about the hook though? How hard is the hook? Because I mean, I always find the hook to be the hardest part of the song, and when I actually write a good hook, the first thing I think is I just subconsciously rip somebody off.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, cause it's so hard, like, yeah, to sort of come up with something, yeah, like completely original. Yeah, because obviously everything's been done in the past, like since the Beatles, like. But like,
there's always room.
Yeah. I think I think it really helps on the piano. Like for some reason, writing songs starting from the piano, it's always like, you can always, like for us, like we've got this, yeah, like I think Dan mentioned already at home, like at home we've got this sort of it's got like a great database of sounds and like proper like full on like distortion guitar sounds and really good drum sounds on it, and it's really, really
really helps creativity.
Yeah, it really helps creativity sort of to come up with like a really good demo sort of thing for a record. But yeah, it's just sort of like constantly on the piano, like once or twice for a couple hours a day, you know.
But yeah,
coming up with hooks and stuff. But
in answer to the question, I do find coming up with the music and the hooks quite natural, I think. I mean, I play piano, I don't really go anymore to play to learn something anymore. I mean, in the past, maybe I used to like print off some music, or I'll learn this piece today, but now I very, very much so, when I go on the piano, I just go to sort of mess around, and I think by just messing around and seeing what happens, then that's when that sort of good ideas come from that.
Well, do you think technology like spurs creativity? Because, you know, if you remember, you know, well, like the time of the Beatles, they didn't have MIDI or keyboard, you know, or full keyboards or Pro Tools and all that. And now for just, you know, maybe $500 to $1,000, you can load up and have a professional studio in your house.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, yeah, you know, you can get very close to something that's, you know, of industry standard, yeah, in your house, you know, especially like depends on the kind of gear that you get. But yeah, in terms of, I guess it pushes creativity, I think, you know. The fact that I think it increases the competition as well of great music, you know, because a lot of people like have the resources now to come up with some really great material, you know.
The white noise, so to say.
Yeah. yeah, exactly. That's, I mean, yeah, ever since, like, I guess, like, since the noise began, like, that's when people could really sort of be able to sort of experiment at home, instead of, like, having to go to a studio and spend, like, X amount of pounds or dollars, you know, like.
I think it has made, you know, music a lot more accessible now. That's what I think that has added to, you know, the rise in sort of producers at home, DJs and sort of bands, you know. As a whole, as Ant said, there's more out there now than there used to be. I think technology is a big part to play in that.
Well, and also too, do you think that, I mean, obviously it does increase the white noise, and you get a lot of bands that just aren't there yet, you know, yeah, politely said. But do you think also that makes bands such as Pacific shine out, you know, a little more than they would if there was less competition, because now your music's pitted up against, or pitted up against stuff in a genre that is kind of, you know, lowered the bar because, you know, because of the accessibility of the equipment.
I think it's probably, especially if, like I say, a certain town has a certain scene, like a lot of bands sound the same as well, then another act comes where it sounds completely different. I think that really helps stand out from the crowd. I mean, like, for us, like, back at home, our hometown, like, Cheshire, like, obviously Cheshire's, like, catchment area, but then, like, our introducing is, like, BBC Introducing from Stoke. That's our sort of a catchment area for, like, BBC Introducing, and, like, all the bands around Stoke. Oh, God. they all sound, like, really guitar, you know, guitar-based, really sort of, like, indie. And I think we sort of stand out because, like, our sound is, like, kind of, like, a lot cleaner and sort of piano rock, you know, the piano edge to it. In terms of other bands being out there, I think it does help a lot. If your music is sort of honed and sort of produced really well, I think that going back to working with somebody that's outside the band, you know, somebody with like the Joe Bloggs kind of like vision, or like, you know, the band that sort of obviously might be really sort of like I don't know, the song might mean something to them, but then a third party coming in can really help to sort of like hone the song and refine it, and maybe give that sort of heart, that tough love to sort of tell somebody what should be in it, what shouldn't be in it. I think that really, really helps if an up and coming band have somebody like that in the mix of, yeah, you know, recording stuff.
In terms of the technology side, I think there is pros and cons. As you said, it has saturated it a lot more. So, I mean, without it, I think I'm not sure what kind of position we'd be without it. So obviously, I do side more ways. It's definitely a good thing, but it can also it's a saturated maybe of bands that could have done with not releasing anything out yet. You know, sort of just working on their own sound prior to sort of releasing it, because it's so easy to release stuff now and to record it.
Yeah, that's a good point actually.
I think people just maybe need some other. You know, artists starting up, it's good to sort of not rush the first release, I think, and just sort of, jam, write songs, and just kind of get opinions, you know, play your songs to people, but there's no need to rush out, you know, 4 EPs in the first year or anything like that.
You're exactly right, because I hear a lot of that. I mean, because we get tons and tons of music, and more and more of it is starting to sound like it was released too quick.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like it's not done, or it could have been better.
Yeah, if you just spent more time, you know, those songs could have grown and
could have been amazing.
Accomplished something. I think a lot of bands and artists starting up do sort of it's not, I don't want to say waste material, but in a way, if you're sort of churning out music and not sort of letting it grow and letting it, you know, not promoting it properly, it can just get lost in, you know, in the nevosphere. And it's just I think it's good to really, you know, not rush releases and let each song sort of accomplish as much as it can do without, you know, like, you know, don't just put it out there online and then leave it, because unfortunately no one will really hear it these days.
Yeah. Well, what do you think of the opposite nowadays? Like X Factor, The Voice, all that stuff, where they, you know, make a whole season into mentoring you for a job you might possibly, you know, have, you know, but might get eliminated from in front of millions of people.
Yeah. I'm not the biggest fan of, like, those kind of shows. I mean, I guess it doesn't really mean... I haven't really seen a show really that sort of incorporates an actual sort of band, you know, like, I think, like, you know, obviously X Factor and like, it's like, but, you know, obviously like vocal groups, but not actual sort of like, you know, instrumental groups. But, you know,
I think there's always the risk of sort of the X Factor winners or The Voice, you know, because you can come into the public eye so fast that if you don't sort of, you know, if you don't come out with good music, you're gonna lose the public eye just as fast.
Exactly. I always get the feeling that people like Simon Cowell, I mean, you got to give him respect because of what he's done with his career and everything. Sure, yeah. But on the flip side, I've always gotten the feeling, you know, with what he does that he doesn't think much of entire bands. I think he thinks like, oh, I can get session players, you know, like anywhere. You know, I think he thinks like that. I think he's got his stable of musicians, and he's just looking for voices.
Yeah. I totally agree. Yeah. I'd say like, you know, maybe like he probably respects bands who like write good songs, so he can like, you know, license a song and make a hit single, you know, from a solo artist from a band. Because I think that happens a lot, doesn't it? You know, like. So like the winner's song on these shows are always like maybe like a new version of a band song, and I think Keane maybe had a sort of Somewhere Only We Know, or like Leona Lewis, I think she sang Run by Snow Patrol, and that was like a main song. I mean, I was gonna say I haven't really looked at figures and stuff, but I mean, just kind of, you know, I feel like maybe there is starting to be a decline maybe in sort of you know, X Factor, those sort of shows. I haven't looked at any stats or anything like that, but I mean, it just feels like not as many people watch anymore. Like around my
side. You're right. Actually, because I don't know if you knew about what's going on over here, but well, I mean, I'm sure if you've heard of American Idol, the once great show that we had over here. Once Simon left the. You know, because he quit, I think, like three or four years ago, the ratings just took a plummet, and now it's in its last season.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, I mean,
I think I did read something about the fact it's ending soon. So, yeah, maybe the, you know, the public are ready for something different now. Maybe they're sort of getting a bit fed up of... cookie cuts.
I think The Voice, which is like the new big thing over here, I think that's on its way out, because when it was on top, they were milking it. They were like, you know, having it five nights a week. Yeah. And they were having all sorts of plot twists and stuff. And they just started making it crazier and crazier and stuff. I mean, I wouldn't have been surprised if at some point they made the last two singers fight to be on the stage. Yeah. You know, like whoever was standing got to sing or something. Or...
Yeah. I wasn't surprised either. I
mean, yeah, you find more drama on these shows than you would have an opera, you know? Yeah, I think you're definitely right. You know, obviously they're trying to sort of rejuvenate these kind of shows, make them more sort of you know, soapy. You know, as time moves on, because obviously they have the longevity has to be you know, they want to try constantly trying to make more and more of these shows. They make loads of money from it, and that's what it's all about. It's all about money at the end of the day. But I think they probably come and go, and I think we probably will see the end of these shows in the next 5 years for a little while, and then and then they'll come back and when we're 40 and 50. But like I think they have helped sort of inspire maybe certain musicians, but it's so much better to just sort of like write your own songs, become a genuine legitimate artist. And you know, get out of the road, create your own fan base, and be like savvy online. I think online presence is really important these days.
Mm-hmm. Well, and how many of them have made it after the shows?
Oh right, yeah. Well, I mean, in the UK, I think like probably the biggest sort of artist to make it from these shows is probably One Direction.
They even win?
They didn't win the show, but
it seems like the winners.
Yeah, the winners like aren't going to be famous. It's always like the second or third placers.
Yeah, and maybe because they're not tied. I mean, the winners are perhaps tied to some sort of contract they've already signed, where they have to wait a year to get any music out. Where if you don't win, you can sort of, you know, an outside record label can scoop you up and maybe have more freedom in terms of getting the music out. I don't know. Perhaps that's this.
Exactly, because I've seen over here, like with, you know, with American Idol, like, you know, some of the labels would just cherry pick who came in sixth and fifth and all that other stuff too, if they like them.
Yeah, totally.
So, well, let me ask you this: if Pacific was offered to be the first band on The Voice, would you do it?
As a guest appearance, you know.
Oh, so not as a contestant.
No.
Okay, well, what about Britain's Got Talent?
I personally wouldn't take the offer. I don't know. I mean, as a contestant, I don't.
See, like, well, think about it, because we've got America's Got Talent, which in Britain's Got Talent is the same show. They're both, yeah. You know, I think America's Got Talent came last and stuff after Britain's Got Talent. But, you know, I mean, think about it. You guys could amp it up, you know, like one of you could juggle and the other one could be on fire and stuff. And, you know,
yeah, we'll get to play the piano, you know, like,
yeah. And then you could just totally, you know, like, you know, just totally destroy your reputation in front of millions of people. You know,
exactly.
So, you know, and then a year from now, you'd open up for puppet shows and stuff. So, but
I mean, it might be cool just to go on it and have a bit of fun and just sort of like single-handedly, yeah, like you say, destroy the whole band in 2 minutes, you know, 2 minutes up slot. But yeah, it's not really for us. I mean, if like, you know, a proper show that was, you know, about original music came on and it wasn't like Phantom of the Opera, you know, you know, we could consider that, you know, like obviously TV exposure is brilliant, you know, but I think there's been one show, like it was like a Channel 4 show on in the UK, I think it happened like 5 or 6 years ago. It was called like Orange Unsigned Act. I think that's the closest there has been to like a band X Factor, but yeah, I'm not sure how successful it was or if the winner had a longevity in his or her career or their career.
Well, but the sad thing is, though, too, is if it got insanely popular, it's going to get ruined, because then you're going to get the network execs coming in here like, oh, now we've got to be like X Factor and we've got to be like The Voice now. And they're going to, you know, try to amp it up every week to top the previous week. And then that's going to throw all the bands over off to the wayside.
Exactly. Everything dies when like the man gets involved, you know, too much.
Exactly, because then they'll make it not about the music at all. They'll make it about the show.
Yeah, and I think that's where it suffers. I think, you know, maybe in the earlier years it was less about, you know, the show, and it was more about finding original, you know, talents. But like now, yeah, it's all about the show, and it's, yeah. I think the best way to sort of rise as an artist now is to just sort of like, is to do it yourself, DIY, and just sort of like, if you stick at it long enough, eventually someone will take notice, you know, if you believe in yourself and you've got the, you know,
chops
to get somewhere, you know what I mean? So yeah, totally. But yeah, you know, fair play to anybody who does want to go on those shows. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Well, but and what you said is dead on, because you basically, to get your band's name out there now, or to get your own name out there, if you're a solo artist, you have to be a good salesperson.
Yeah,
I mean, you have to be that person that would sell a cell phone to someone with no hands.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, and get away with it. I mean, you really have to be a good self promoter and. To do something like that, you know, to do something like those shows, you're actually putting your brand second, because you're supporting another brand, which is the show itself.
Yeah, that's a great way of looking at it. Yeah.
So well, having said that, where can we find Pacific online?
Yeah, everything is. We're lucky in the sense we've managed to get the same domain name for everything. So yeah, everything like Facebook, YouTube. Our own website, Twitter, SoundCloud, all those links. It's / Pacific Official. So yeah, it's just that. That's all. Everything. So Facebook, / Pacific Official, Twitter, YouTube, all that. So yeah, we've got music videos, and our Facebook's our sort of main hub in terms of, like, you know, status updates and all that kind of stuff. But we're starting to up our game on Twitter now. So yeah, it's all there for people to find and see.
Nice. And you said the album comes out November 13th, right?
Yeah, yeah. EP comes out, yeah, November 13th, and pre-order is in 2 days' time.
Is in 2 days, and we'll have the links and everything here for that, too. So, well, thanks, Dan and Anthony, man. I really appreciate it. I love what you guys are doing. I hope you keep it up for many, many years to come, and I can't wait till your next EP and album and all that other stuff comes out, too. You're one of those bands I want to hear evolve.
Yeah,
you know, because you got me hooked with what you've done so far, and the fact that you guys are so young as well, just to me, you know, tells me that there's hope in the indie world, that we haven't just gone off in the boy band oblivion or anything, and
yeah.
You know, so that there is more than just one direction. There's many directions.
Yeah.
So
well, kind words, man. Cheers.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, we'll keep in touch, you know, for sure. You know, we'll send over our next stuff to you, and yeah, and thanks for the platform.